It is time. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. We're going to talk a little about work today. I was thinking that I wanted this message to be impactful, really, really helpful, really encouraging, kind of change your life. And I thought, boy, I can't do anything. I can't make you change. I can't make you do something. But the Lord can help us. And so let's pray and ask for the Lord's help here. Lord, we just come and acknowledge that you're God, you're good, you're with us, you love us, you care for us, and that you have the power to change. As we surrender to you, as we humble ourselves before you, you can do great things. May you do that for us today. Help our hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I want to start by sharing my story about how I got into full-time ministry and then, you know, the path that God took me on and kind of what that means. So it starts with a missionary in the Congo, West Africa. His name is Daryl Champlin. Great, it worked. He's on the left there. And he was in the Congo, West Africa with his wife, who's in the middle, for at least 30 years. They went other places. His wife was actually, that's where she grew up as a child, in the Congo, West Africa. And interestingly, so I heard him speak, I heard him through a tape, actually. That tells you kind of my age. I was 15 or 16 years old, and my friend who went to the church, they recorded it, so he gave me these tapes. And I listened to those, and so I had never seen the guy. So this guy, who is one of the most impactful people in my life to spur me on, to give me a kind of a passion for missions and to be in ministry, I just had never seen him. See, the internet can be, it can be good. And so there he is, and he helped me to have a great desire, I think, for to be in ministry, to make my life be kind of focused on that. Well, that meant I thought I should probably go off to Bible college. So I did that. Then I went to seminary, did that. And then I promptly did not use those degrees at all. So I went to work at a warehouse. Then did that for a few years. Then I went and I worked as a PTA, a physical therapist assistant. I did physical therapy. And so God knew that I probably needed some time. I needed to grow. I needed to gain some humility, some experience, growing some wisdom. And that's the path that God took me on to get me there, to do those things. Now, what I want you to know is that it was not insignificant. It was not invaluable, or it was not unnecessary for me to do that work. I needed to do, to work in a warehouse, to work as a PTA. That's where God wanted me to be. I came to realize that work is necessary. It is valuable. So, which one do you think is more important? Sharing the gospel to your coworkers and to your neighbors and to the world, or working an 8-to-5 job to provide for your family? We tend to think that you got to be sharing the gospel and stuff like that. And that's kind of how I thought. But they are both the will of God. You should be doing the work of 8-to-5, providing for your family. So, the Lord's got good in store for your work. We're going to talk about Genesis 1 and 2. We're going to go through some other passages as well. But we're going to talk about the way that Genesis 1 and 2 help us to understand what work is, like the nature of it, what it's not. And we think of work as kind of a necessary evil, don't we? That's kind of how you think about it. But really, God has, he's got good in store for work. So our prevailing culture, the sentiment in our culture is we're averse to work. We don't really want to work. We actually have an acronym for it. It's called TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. And maybe you can use that innocently. That's not a big deal. But I think the prevailing idea underneath it is that if we could just pull a string and skip Monday through Friday and just get to Saturday and Sunday to the good stuff, that's what we'd want to do. I know that's how that's how it is at the places that I've worked. Boy, let's just get through this work stuff. Well, if that is your mindset, if that tends to be the way that you think, life's going to be pretty tough because we work a lot. Of our like 12 to 16 waking hours, we work like 8 to 10 of it, right? I mean, it's just devoted to work. So that means 50 to 75% of your life from when you're 18 to when you're 65, you're just going to be working. And we tend to think that, I just got to waste my time doing that. I just got to make ends meet. So if that kind of is running through your mind, then listen today, because God has a different picture. He's got a greater vision for work than that. He's got good in store. He wants to bring some good news to this issue, and he wants to transform your mind and therefore transform your life. So we're going to talk about work as worship. All of work is, all of life is worship, and we're just going to talk about the work part. Three parts. We're going to talk about the fact that work is designed, work is good, and work is eternal. So let's jump into work is designed. So God created us to work. It's just a part of his plan. It's really a part of our nature. So let's jump to Genesis 2, verse 3, and you can get a house Bible there. I'm going to make it really easy for you. Genesis 2 on page 2. You can find it. Or you can look up here. Even easier. So Genesis 2, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all of his work of creation. And then if you just go down a few verses to verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. From the very beginning, God was working. And from the very beginning, he was having Adam work. He was emphasizing work in that way. If we don't emphasize work in our lives, we just break apart. We kind of lose purpose. And this is kind of understood in the culture. Nursing homes and retirees understand this. So in the nursing homes, years ago, they figured out if the residents don't have anything to do, then they just decline in health. They just decline in function and their life expectancy. So they gave them some things to do. Take care of some dogs and cats and birds and things like that. And it helped them because they had purpose, because they're made to work. Retirees, I figured out years ago that if you retire and then you just don't do anything, you're like, done with work, then people would decline. They would just decline in their health and their life expectancy, and sometimes it would be rapid. So they understood this, and now they tell retirees to get a part-time job or something. So Adam was supposed to emphasize work in his life by taking care of the garden. God gave him a job. He gave him meaning. He gave him purpose. But there's a catch, and here's the catch. You can't have a meaningful life without work, but you can't make work the meaning of your life. You can't have a meaningful life without work. It's God's plan. You're designed for it, but you can't make work the meaning of your life. God is the center. He's the center of all life. Obviously, he's the center of all life. He made all life. Everything orbits around him, or it's supposed to orbit around him. And so I find it helpful to think about a solar system. So if you check this out, can you? Yeah, it's okay. So if you think about, instead of the sun being the sun, you put God in there, and the things that orbit around it would be work, rest, pleasure, family, sports, hobbies, friends, things like that. Those would be the planets around there. Now, if you took Jupiter, say, and that's work, and then you had all the other planets and everything orbiting around work, your solar system is going to get messed up. There's going to be chaos. Things are going to get rammed. Things are going to explode. But if God is at the center of your life, then you can find the correct work-life balance. So is your work keeping you from giving God your time? Does he get to spend time with you? Do you engage with him? Or does work push him out? Is work keeping you from your family or maybe your church family? Maybe do you not know your kids very well because of work? Does your husband or your wife, maybe as a friend, they often seek time with you, but you can't give it to them because you're working. And if you are home, are you really present? Are you actually present there? Are you trading money for relationships? You're working, you're making the money, but in exchange, you don't really know people very well. You don't have deep relationships. So how did God show us what work was supposed to be like? Well, we're talking about priorities here, right? Well, he had you work 6 days and then rest the one. So you want to work well and you want to rest well. When it's time to work, work. When it's time to rest, you want to rest. Maybe you're thinking, boy, oof, I mean, how? I feel like my work is meaningless. Like, it's not a big deal. It's unimportant. And we're going to get into that here eventually. But in the meantime, just think, God designed us to work with him at the center. Okay? God designed us to work with him at the center. So number one, work's designed. Number two, work is good. Really, Pastor? Really? You're going to try and pull that one on me? Nice try. Well, let me give it a try. Let me give it a try to help you to think through the fact that work is a good thing. So God made work to be satisfying, not dreaded, you know, to be fulfilling. Genesis 1:31. If you still have your Bibles open, it's page 1. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. So God worked. And it was good. It was a good thing. It was fulfilling. Work was embedded into the world from the beginning, and there wasn't any sin in the world. There was nothing wrong in the world at all. Work is inherently a good thing. That's the plan. It's good like rest is good. It's good like sex is good. It's good like food is good. And maybe you're like, wow, you may have to think about that for a second. It's like reworking your way of thinking about work a little bit. Your mind is rewiring. So that's how God thinks about work. Your work is so good that it is the calling of God on your life. Now, what do I mean by the calling of God on your life? I just mean that God has plans for your good and for the good of the world through you. Adam was called to take the raw materials in the garden and then bless people with those. Create, fashion, good things. I spent quite a few years working jobs that I would not have said, this is what I was made for. This is my dream job. How many of you can say that? Can you say, I'm in my dream job? Not a lot of us seem to be able to say that. But I don't think you actually have to say that. I don't think you have to say, I was made for this in order to be the fulfillment of God's call in your life. Because it goes back to the example that God gave and then what Adam did, right? He was to take whatever he was doing, those raw materials, and do good with them and to bless people. Your work is to be a blessing to the world. It's not isolated, right? It's not just you, individual, your work. It's a lot bigger than that. It's for the whole. And that's why I think it can be the calling of God in your life, because it's what he wants you to do. So there's a guy, Martin Luther, he's got some good things to say about work. He's the 16th century Catholic monk turned Protestant, started the Protestant movement. That's why you're sitting in the chairs you are today. He says it like this. He says, God himself will milk the cows through him whose vocation that is. God's plan is that what you're doing, right? In this case, those dairy farmers, that's how God's going to give milk to the world, right? Whatever it is that you do, God wants you to do that so it can help somebody else. The Bible talks about the way that God provides. He provides food and shelter and clothing, all these different things, and the way that he's doing it is through you. So your work is a calling from God to help people. So you can be content, therefore. Be content in your job. Now, I know that can be very challenging to do. I understand that entirely, because I remember a boss. I remember that landscaping boss I had to work with, and I just had to go with him every day, and it was just him and me, just driving in this truck, and he did not like me. He did not say a word. I mean, the whole day, unless he was barking an order. So it could be challenging to be content, and we're going to get to that as well. But you can be content. That doesn't mean that you can't strive for something else. You can't go back and get education and get a different job, anything like that. I mean, I did. But you can't do it with a discontent, grumbling heart, as if God didn't know what your circumstances were, as if he planned on you being stuck in your job for 30 or 40 years. That's not the heart of God. So for me, I went back to school. I was working at that warehouse for several years, and I thought, I don't think this is quite the long-term plan here. And so I went back to do physical therapy, became a physical therapist assistant. And it worked out great. I do just a little bit of that now. But whatever you do, you're going to have to trust God in it. So work's good. It's fulfilling. The plan is to be fulfilling for you and fulfilling for others. And it matters. What you do matters. Let's take a look at why it matters. So we've covered work is designed, work is good, and now work is eternal. Work is eternal. Your work really matters because it has this eternal aspect to it. Maybe you're thinking, oh, he's doing the eternity shtick again. The next life is more important than this one routine. Well, I didn't make the rules. God made the rules. He said it. He's the one that said it, not me. So what did he say about this? He says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." That means what you do tomorrow really matters. Your work, whatever you do, whether you're out and about or you're at home with the kids or whatnot, it's important. And so there's a couple ways I think of this as being is just how significant it is in light of eternity. One is that God deserves to be glorified through your work. He is worthy of that. We should glorify him. He should be glorified. And two is that he wants to reward you and bless you for all eternity for the deeds that you've done. He wants to bless you for all eternity because of what you've done. That's awesome. And so how should we respond to that? Now what? How do we work? Well, I think we want to work in a couple ways. One, I think we want to work with excellence. So it says in Proverbs 22:29, "Do you see a person skilled in his work? He will stand in the presence of kings. He will not stand in the presence of the unknown." Well, I mean, has anybody been before a king doing their work? I have not. You don't have to be in front of a king. You want to work well, right? You want to work with skill. You want to work with excellence. And again, in 1 Corinthians 10:31, So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. So like I said before, I'm a PTA, so I do PT work. I'm paid to inflict pain and torture. That's what they like to call it, PT. They think it's funny. Well, so I've worked on a lot of hips, a lot of knees, a lot of total knees, these kinds of things. I heard a sermon a long time ago, and he talked about working like God is your boss. And so I thought, let's see, I need to apply that. How do I apply that? Well, that meant when I need to work on somebody's knee like it's the very knee of Jesus. I mean, Jesus had a total knee replacement, and I need to take care of this knee. He is on my table. So you got to think about whatever it is that you do. Do your work like Jesus is your boss. He is the owner of that company. He's the manager. He's the client. He's that person you want to take care of that person. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. You want to work for him. Work excellently. Number two, I think the way you want to respond is work hard. Ephesians 6:7-8 says, serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to people, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. And then again, Proverbs 14:23, there is profit in all hard work. It's good to work hard, but it's hard to work hard, isn't it? I mean, it's just difficult. And it's especially hard when you feel like this. Man, you ever felt like that? I sure have. Man, I have a really hard time working when I feel like that. Exhausted. Maybe when you feel like this, it's hard to work hard when you feel like that. I mean, honestly, though, I'm not sure that's... That guy, I think he's faking it. He's got a whole bunch of tears on the right side, but none on the left. I think maybe it's fake. This next one is not fake, though. This guy is a professional crier. Very good at it. Yep. Andrew Garfield, Amazing Spider-Man. He's very good at that. I mean, honestly, I think if he cries, I'll just cry. He's just that good. It's going to be hard to work hard when you feel like this. You're just stressed and anxious, and you've got something in your mind. You can't get it off. I know I've been there for sure. And it's hard to work hard if you're like this. If you're angry. I figured this was the perfect one. It's Hugh Jackman. I mean, he's Wolverine, so he's the quintessentially angry person. So maybe you're angry. So the world is marred because of sin, so it can be hard to work hard. And the Lord understands. He understands our fatigue. He understands the late nights, the kids getting up. He knows about spiritual pain, emotional pain, physical pain, all that stuff. He knows if you have that difficult boss. I mean, honestly, I think you could probably do any job in the world if you have a good boss. And if you have the best job in the world and you have a bad boss, you don't want to do it. It's really difficult. And so you can probably relate to that, having a boss like that. And this is probably why he talks so much about persevering and enduring in the scriptures. And in those times, the Lord encourages us to look up, to entrust ourselves to him with our work so we can stay diligent and so we can keep working hard. So sometimes we're fatigued, we're angry, any of those other things. But sometimes it's that it's hard for us to work well and diligent because we don't think it makes a difference. Like, my job is nothing. It's not a big deal. Maybe you work on computers, pipes, people, kids poop. I mean, it could be a lot of things, right? You could do a lot of different things. And you feel like it's insignificant. It isn't insignificant. It isn't. Not to God. He doesn't think it's insignificant. And yet again, I like how Martin Luther puts this. He says, The works of monks and priests do not differ one whit in the sight of God from the works of rustic laborers in the field or the woman going about her household tasks. Your Father sees every little thing you do for him. That's encouraging. So God designed. He designed work that would be a blessing to the world. It would be fulfilling and good for you and in eternity. And he doesn't want you to do it alone. He doesn't want you to do it like this guy. This guy all alone walking on the beach with his hoodie, looking real sad. He wants you to do it like this. With Jesus and the disciples, right? Together. Now, I was trying to look for maybe a different picture, and I couldn't find a different one. So then I found another, and I couldn't. I just had to have both of them because I really like this one. Because I tend to think, and maybe you do, I think Jesus is with me, but I think maybe he's a little stern. He's pretty serious. Maybe a little cross. But Jesus smiles, right? I mean, he made joy. He made happiness. He's the greatest smiler of all time. And he smiles at you, right? He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to walk with you in your work and whatever you're doing. And it's not that he's not willing to fulfill his end of the bargain. It's not like he isn't willing to be with you. It's for us to say, I want you with me. I surrender. I need you. He said he wouldn't forsake you. He said he's not going to leave you like orphans. That's why he gave you the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better that I go away so the Holy Spirit can be with you. I'm not going to leave you. He's going to stay with you so that when you have the fear or the anxiety or you can't get something off your mind or whatever it is, maybe you're really tired. Who knows? You know your thing. But he wants to be there with you doing that. And if he's with you, you can withstand anything. Anything that the world, the flesh, and Satan throws at you. Because he's with you. So get up tomorrow morning with these truths in your mind. That God's with you, and he'll give you the power to bless the world no matter what you do. Work to make God smile and bless the world. Let's pray. Lord, we need this. We're going to work a lot. We're just going to keep working. We have to do it, and it's a part of your plan. Help us to see it for what it is. Help us to have it change our lives, and there would be a fulfillment there, and there would be a goodness there. We would see that. It wouldn't be so difficult just to get up to go to work for us. Help us. Help us. We need that. We thank you. We love you. We pray that we'd glorify you, and that we'd remember that you want to give good gifts for all eternity. You want to bless for all eternity. We thank you, Father, for being like that. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Maybe you need some prayer for work for tomorrow. There's going to be some people praying with you right over there if you want that in the prayer nook. All right? Otherwise, have a good Sunday.